Hey there, your fly's down. We put so much effort into covering our bodies that the idea of exposing ourselves in public, even inadvertently after a trip to the loo, is enough to make us blush. Nudity is a taboo that's so ingrained that being in the buff has become the cliche stress stream. But it's more than that. In many places, your naked body is against the law. So how did our birthday suits go from being our natural state to becoming a crime? We expose the history of clothing and get to the naked truth of why nudity is so taboo in today's episode of Impolite Society.
You're listening to Impolite Society with Laura and Rachel.
And now you're scared. You're terrified. I see it in your eyes.
I am. I joined the meeting like this. I don't know if you noticed.
No, I didn't. I was testing my sound.
I had my eyes covered. I was like,
no. I'm not going to flash you just out of pure shock value. No.
Thank you.
Guys, today we are talking about nudity. That's right. I'm talking about being in the buff.
Your birthday suit.
Being naked as a jaybird.
You know, I've never heard that one before.
Really?
Nope.
Well, you're going to hear all about it today, because this is Impolite Society, the podcast where we tackle the societal taboos one rude question at a time. Rachel and I take turns asking ourselves the rude questions that you cannot ask in impolite society. And I'm Laura.
And yo, this is Rachel on the mic. Rizzy Ray.
Rizzy Wright.
I just really am feeling like my inner shock jock DJ tonight.
Well, we're going to get a little bit shocking here today.
Yeah, we are. Hopefully not too shocking.
She's covering her eyes again. I'm not going to flash you. Don't worry.
I don't know what's in store.
You're fine. Have you ever had that dream where you show up somewhere in public and you're totally naked and you're absolutely mortified?
The thing is, I've had a lot of anxiety dreams. I had a dream where there was tigers attacking me, like laying siege on my house. I've had test dreams recently. In the last 2 weeks, I have dreams about tests that I haven't studied for. Last night, I had a dream I was in a play that I did not have my lines or songs prepared at all. I was
but
just
no
going
nudity.
Out there. No nudity. Nudity does not come into my dreams at all, I guess.
It's because you're so prudish, you'd never even consider the thought that you would be naked in front of other people.
You know, but the older I get, the more I don't care.
Well, honestly, I haven't had that dream either, but I know it's a common thing.
Laura's
for
like,
people.
Look at me.
Yep. And it's a really common thing. It's a common dream. It's a common anxiety, that thought of being naked in front of others.
That's why if you say to someone, oh, your fly's down, they instantly go,
Exactly. It's mortifying. And where does that shame come from? And why could you be arrested if that dream was a reality? Why is my naked body a crime? Why is my God-given body being in its most natural form, why is it a crime?
This is the way we all entered the world. It's the way we end up on that autopsy table and a bombing table that Laura used to work on.
You sure do. And in doing the research on this one, I went down the rabbit hole like I usually do. So many directions, looking at anthropology and law and history and all this different stuff. And I just want to say, I hope we make this all look easy to the listeners, because it isn't. Because putting all this knowledge down in one spot, it's really hard, guys. And somebody needs to give me a cookie or something, because I went to the nth to the research for this episode.
And I agree. I read through it. I saw your notes. And that's why I want you to look under your podcasting chair right now. It's grandma's cookies, and you get a cookie,
But Rachel, you don't even know how far I went for the research. I visited a nudist colony.
Wait!
This is not a joke.
What?
I legitimately went to a nudist camp.
No way.
And I spent the entire day naked. Nude.
How was it?
Fucking weird.
Oh, no. Okay, what is this nudist camp like?
It's like honestly, it's like summer camp. You know, if you've ever gone to like sleepaway summer camp, that's what it's like. It's got a pool. It's got like a little like office slash lodge.
And there's no clothes allowed. Like even if you wanted to wear clothes, they would kick you out. They'd say, get out of here. You fucking disgust me.
If you are a visitor, it is not clothing optional. You have to be nude all the time. If you have property there, however, you live in one of the houses, I mean, then you're allowed to do what you want because you're like a bona fide member.
So, okay, how long did you spend there in the nude?
We were there from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Jesus.
So the whole thing with, you know, going to the nudist colony, it was this big apprehension about whether or not it would be a weird sex thing. Like, that's the fear, right?
Yeah.
That they're all a bunch of swingers and are all trying to just like, eh. But they have very strict rules. No overtly sexual behavior to other people. No overtly sexual behavior to yourself. And they even give discounts to couples versus individuals. You pay more as a single person to come than you do as a couple to come because they don't want it to be a breeding ground for weird sex shit.
Definitely. So, more questions. A, okay. How much does it cost to visit a nudist colony?
For an individual, $40. For a couple, $30.
And that just gets you in the door.
Yep.
You don't get any nude activities out of that.
I mean, you could swim. You can walk nature trails in the buff.
But what about shoes?
You can wear shoes.
Okay, shoes, that's good. That's good. Okay, second question. If you're a visitor, do they give you like a little cubby or do you have to take all your clothes off in the car and then show up?
Honestly, I put all my shit in the back of the car. Because like we're sitting there, like we park in front of the office, you go in, you check in, they do like get your ID. And I think honestly, they do background checks, which I'm like, okay, I think that's good.
Take your ID. Are you on some kind of list now?
Apparently.
Oh, no. And
they, like, there's a changing room there. And Austin was like, do you want to go in the changing room? I'm like, what's the point?
I might as well walk out naked in front of everyone.
Yeah, exactly. I might as well just strip right here. And so I do. I start peeling it off. And, it, you know, I get down to my bra and underwear. And I'm like,
here we go.
Here we go.
The length that I go to for research. Oh, my goodness.
And it comes off. And it's super fucking weird. Like, just immediately you just feel so naked, so exposed. And then what was weird is I kind of started to get used to the feeling.
Yeah.
But then as soon as, like, I hear a car come by.
You're like, there no.
Yeah, exactly. It's like that reminder of civilization. And I'm like, no. But of course, all the people who drive through there know exactly what they're in for. They live there or they're doing something there. They had people who were doing construction in the nude there. Like, they were building.
Can you imagine? You get roped into a job, and they're like, take it off. All you can keep is the reflective vest.
It was fucking crazy. And to make it even worse, we drive in, and the first fully nude person I see is a woman in her mid-20s.
Oh, fuck her.
Size 2 with fake boobs.
What?
Fucking hell.
Why are you here? This is not the way that nudist colonies work.
And it's funny you mention that because I always equated nudist with naturalist.
Yes.
Just like, this is the way our bodies were made. They're beautiful. They're wonderful. I don't need to change anything. The biggest thing that I noticed in this camp, though I bet it's different in every single one that you go to. Every single one of these people, bald genitalia.
Oh.
100%. Not trimmed, bald.
I was going to ask, you knew you were going to do this. Did you do any upkeep?
I did not. I said I went without. I wore no makeup. I did not do my hair. I did not trim nothing.
You're like,
yeah.
I'm going to the fucking woods. I'm returning to my roots.
Exactly. That's what I thought the whole vibe was. But no, everyone is bald. So many old women with no pubic hair. So many old balls with no hair on them. Just 100% bald.
Wow.
It was just shocking to me because it felt super contradictory, right? That, you know, you're coming here to be nude and to bask in your natural state, but you feel this need to
alter your body.
Exactly. It just
especially with fake tits. Are you sure? Or were you just...
Oh, they were definitely fake. In fact, I consulted with Austin. I'm like, those are fake, right? And he's like, oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, okay. So it's like, oh, you're a small woman with fake tits and you have to be naked at this camp? That's what the internet's for. Go totally. Be naked there.
Totally. I was like, I feel like I would have been more comfortable if they were all like a bunch of 50-year-old women.
Well, you want to be the hot one.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. I wanted to be the hot one. And because it's the Midwest and like kind of country, you know, they're all smokers, you know, so they got this like real rah, rah, rah.
Oh,
rah.
My God.
All just so tan. And it was overall, I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it either. It was an interesting experience and I'm glad that I had. But yeah, it was just weird. And again, that blaring thing is that incongruity between naturalist, nudist, but apparently shaving all your pubic hair is the norm, which I think was just so weird.
That does seem odd. And okay, so after you've lived a day nude, which seriously A+ for research, this beats my OnlyFans account that I made. And
thank you. That was my goal.
She's like, I got a best Rachel. So that's what's the next one? Is the next one about being a stripper?
Oh, God, we're all...
Who's working at the club this weekend? Is it any different than just wearing a swimsuit? Like, did you feel any less free than just wearing like a swimsuit?
Oh, definitely. First of all, swimming naked is by far the superior experience. And I've skinny dipped before, and I love to skinny dip. So when I was in the pool, I was at 100% comfort level. It is stupid to wear a swimsuit in a pool, really, honestly, okay. Truly. But when I was walking around, way more exposed than when you're wearing a swimsuit. Absolutely, you feel it.
I just don't think I could be comfortable. I have big boobs, and I feel like they're just going to get in the way all day long.
Well, there was like a time where Austin and I went through like the nature trails and I'm like, this is why I wear clothes. Chub rub. Like my thighs were starting to burn after like 10 minutes of walking. And so I had to take my towel and like wrap it around my waist and tuck one end into my thighs.
Like a towel diaper.
Exactly. Because it started to rub and be uncomfortable. I'm like, this is why we wear clothes, people.
It's not just for warmth. It's also for
chub rub.
Comfort.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, this really surprised me, and I am delighted. I am just tickled. This was a great story, a great introduction, and really an above and beyond. And as much as we're changing lives of our listeners, we're also changing our own lives.
Exactly. So, we're learning.
So kudos. Kudos to you. Okay, but here's – okay, final question, and then I'm going to stop.
Okay.
I'm going to save the rest for after we finish recording. Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10 – how ridiculous is the human body after seeing a whole bunch of naked human bodies?
Honestly, I had no interest in any of the male bodies there. They were nothing to look at. But I did see some older women that I was like, you were a hottie in your heyday. You know what I mean? Like, you could see that hourglass coming out, like, even in their older age. You know, of course, they're bigger, they're older, they have cellulite. But I'm like, girl... 30 years ago, you had a banging bod. So, I mean, if anything, to me, maybe it just emphasized the beauty of human body, at least the female human body. All the other guys had, you know, beer guts and bald balls, which are not attractive to anybody.
Okay, so one more question. How hard is it not look down constantly?
Yeah, it was hard. You are immediately like, eye contact, I'm not looking.
I'm not staring.
And there was at one point like where some guy, like as I walked by, was like, like gave me a smile. And I'm like, don't smile at me! Don't you do it! Don't even look at me!
That would be horrifying. Yeah. I would cry.
I didn't like it. That was only one interaction. And I'd like to think that it wasn't a creepy smile. Who knows? But
it'd be like, you should have paid $40.
Yeah.
That's your creepy tax. Is that $10?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
With that as our introduction to the world of nudity and Laura's introduction to the world of nudity, we're going to dig into the history of clothes, what it means, the laws around clothes. Why is our naked body a crime?
Okay. That was refreshing. We'll be back.
Hi there. Wherever you are, right now, take a moment and look around you. Have you ever thought about how much effort, what measure of resources, how much creative thinking and innovation was required to create all the assets you are surrounding yourself with right now? For example, you are watching our podcast on your cell phone, listening to the audio signal through a Bluetooth speaker, both of which are powered by a self-contained rechargeable battery made of lithium. And what is lithium anyway, and where does it come from? The simple truth is, we use things every day and have no idea where they came from or what they were originally intended to be used as. And that's why we created What's Going On. Travel with Jason Pfister and Patrick Ballwig as they go back in time and expand your mind ever so slightly on the historic complexities of even the most mundane of household items. Join us each week for a new episode as these two gents pursue their curiosity-driven search for the history of technology in their entertainment series called What's Going On. They got you on a mind, ain't the first time. I said when me wanna write a song, it won't be taken too long.
When did we start covering up our shame? Scientists and historians, they can't quite agree. There's not really a widely accepted timeline for the start of clothing because furs, textiles, these don't fossilize well. So we're kind of flying blind on this one. The estimate from archaeologists and scientists, anywhere from 3 million to 40,000 years ago.
No, just a little blip on the timeline of history.
Yeah, that's a big fucking range. In general, I think the point we can all take away from this is we've been covering ourselves from a long ass time.
Yeah, it's almost a part of who we are. We were born with some business and something to cover it up with. Yeah. Slap that diaper on, instant.
As Homo sapiens moved out of the warmer climates of Africa and up into those cooler weather regions of Europe, they needed to figure something out. And those earliest coverings are what you think they'd be. Furs, leathers, leaves, all that kind of stuff. That
leaves?
They, could...
they put a little fig leaf over there.
Yeah, the fig leaf.
You're like, ah.
Or just like warm. Stuffing leaves in between fur, like to do the insulation. So anything that was wrapped or tied. And that was primitive stuff. But at some point, these ancient humans started to make real clothes. So they started to do textiles and cutting and sewing and that kind of thing.
And then they sold it on Caveman Etsy. And they said, you can support me in my art, my craftsmanship.
If they had that available, I don't think anyone would give a fuck because there's too worried about eating and surviving the next 4 hours.
Yeah, no kidding. They're like, okay, you hand sewed that, but how many leaves can I stuff in there?
Precisely. And when they started doing that kind of stuff, they started moving around even more. They went more northern or crossed that land bridge or whatever in the Dire Straits or the...
You know, that thing that brought people to the Americas.
Yeah, that thing.
Dumb thing.
And they needed to adapt to even more harsh environments, more clothes, different clothes.
I think every cave woman was like, yes, more clothes. I need options. And then she's like, oh my God, we're crossing the strait today. I have nothing to wear. And her husband's like, you had so many things to wear.
You have so many furs, so many grasses, so many leaves.
Yes, you got 3 grasses yesterday. What do you mean you have nothing to wear? She's like, I don't like them anymore. Sorry.
I have a feeling that came a lot later, but I appreciate the sentiment. As people started moving around and there's a lot more geography being covered, societies naturally start to form. So as these hunter-gatherers become farmers, people start to mix together. They're in smaller spaces. And clothes took on a new meaning. And that was status. We can't possibly be going around thinking we're all equal.
That's not how humanity works.
Exactly. We have to know who is better than everyone else, who is below everyone else, and who is at your level. These are things that humans need to know. Archaeologists, smart people around the world, they're not 100% sure when this kind of status happened, but at least by the time that we got to the ancient Mesopotamians, which is between the 4th and 6th century BC, clothes started to mean something. And the societal opinion was it was better to do some things naked. You don't need your loincloth getting caught in this newfangled wheel, right? Or your toga flapping around like a matador's cape, making that lion mad. So it was better to be naked when you're doing stuff like work. To be nude meant that you had to work, which means you were poor.
Like women volleyball players, you needed the mobility, right? That's why they wear those little spandex shorts. Not for perverted reasons, because they need mobility. And apparently the best way to get mobility is by being as close to naked as possible.
Well, these ancient individuals would absolutely agree with you.
Ancient individuals and ninth grade girls volleyball coaches.
On the same page. As God intended.
Yes, yes. That's, why are we all not playing sports in the nude? That's what I thought when I watched the Olympics. Every session, I'm like, too many clothes.
It was better to be naked when you're doing stuff like work. To be nude meant that you had to work, which means you were poor or a lower class or a slave. This spanned kind of across the Mesopotamians, the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Romans, and on and on and on and on and on.
Well, I think that just put a nice bow in it. We wear clothes because we don't want to look like we're blue collar. Isn't that humans? We all want to appear like we're higher status than we actually are. Put a bow on it, done. We wear clothes so we don't look poor.
Exactly. And the shame of being nude, didn't have anything to do with sexuality yet. It was the shame of being without your status. You are exposed in a metaphorical manner. This sexual connotation of being nude, it didn't come until a lot later since, like I said, so many things were best done in the nude. It was functional and impractical to wear clothes. And who can afford to be impractical? Rich people. And we all want to be rich.
Yeah, who doesn't? That's literally what we do in America, is we pretend we're rich.
Yeah. And so then after it kind of had this general feeling of clothes are better, makes you more upper class, snooty, there was a little exception to this. We got the Greeks. They love to be nude. They love showcasing their athletics.
Oh, they fucking love to be nude. They're like, make me naked anytime, anyway, till Sunday. Any excuse to take their pants off. Oh, I'm throwing a disc. Better take these drawers off.
But even after the Greeks, we had the Romans. And they came to power, took over most of the world in the Roman Empire, and they adopted the toga. This was their status announcement. Cicero, the emperor, he thought that, quote, exposing naked bodies amongst citizens is the beginning of public disgrace.
Ooh, so why did he think that? What was about the naked bodies that would make him think that it was public disgrace?
That they felt the Greeks being naked and doing all this naked athleticism was homoerotic.
Oh, but wasn't it?
All roads, right? All roads lead back to the Greeks, the pedophiles.
To diddling children, yes. And if they were like, oh, those Greeks, they were all about that swinging dong during those Olympics, you'd be like, okay, fair. That's fair. You got me.
They absolutely were. As time started to march on, cities, towns, they get bigger. There's more of a defined social class that pops up around the world, not just in the Roman culture.
Like you said, we got to judge people. We have to determine their worth by, like, material signifiers.
On first glance, we have to be able to determine.
I need to know how valuable you are to society just by looking at you.
Mm-hmm. And through this growth, a sort of a middle class kind of emerged, though really how middle class was it in ancient Rome and the likes, but it became more and more important in everyday life to be able to signify that. But of course, there were other influences to this, the one that I think that we would all expect, which is the rise of Christianity. they adopted their style of dress from the Jews, and they had a big influence on being modest and keeping covered. And
So we really owe the song Modest is Hottest from TikTok. We owe that to the Jews. So it's just another contribution of the Jewish people. So thank you for that.
And then Islam popped up. They also put a high emphasis on being modest, especially the women.
They took it to the nth.
As we are seeing in the moment.
Do you have to see. That's about it. But the rest of you should be under a sheet.
Honestly, they should be thankful they can even allowed to see.
Yeah, no kidding. But sometimes I do think that would not that not be freeing to just throw on a burqa every day and not have to do my hair and makeup? Am I just in a different form of a burqa?
That's kind of what they say. My dad went to Saudi Arabia and he said it was so interesting because you see all these women in these burqas, like the full face covering, you know, just the eyes out, but you can see underneath their feet. Clack, 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 clack. They're all wearing like super high heels.
Oh, God.
Because Saudi Arabia is outrageously rich. Like everyone in there is basically an oil baron. So they're
wearing fucking Louis Vuittons under their burqa?
Yeah. And like super high fashion stuff.
Oh, you're not influenced by the Western world. You're not corrupted by the Western world. Get the it's fuck Saudi out of Arabia. Here. Saudi Arabia,
they're our allies. We're selling them planes left and right.
Oh, yeah, Saudi you Arabia know. Is their own thing. We're besties.
quote unquote.
But it's just like, if I had to wear a burqa every day, I'd be wearing fucking sweats. I'd be wearing my spandex shorts and stuff.
I'm wearing my spandex right now. I got my yoga pants on.
Yeah, I would wear that, and I'd be rolling around in my fucking Skechers walkables, and I'd be like, you know what? This is what God wanted. He didn't want me to be hot. God never wanted me to be hot. He wanted me to be under a blanket.
Cozy. With a full bush.
He sure did.
Yeah.
Who am I to argue it?
And as we all know, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, these are the three religions that pretty much took over the world. So a taboo was born. And at this point, it's just a little baby taboo.
Like, it's just a little baby. It's like opening its eyes and it's got like the no teeth kind of like sucky face. Like,
yep, because it is still acceptable to be nude, like when you're bathing in public places, when you're swimming, when you're doing manual labor and that kind of thing. People recognize the sense of being naked. But around the 1500s, this is where our baby taboo, it starts to, you know,
go through puberty,
get a little beard, get a little angsty.
Yeah, like its balls dropped with velocity.
Yep. Europeans, they started to expand their territories, started to colonize other areas, other more remote areas. They started to meet the naked savage. So all these Aboriginal people who knew it's hot around here. I don't need to be covering up all this stuff, getting my swamp ass, my underboob sweat going on. They're smart. They know to keep their clothes off.
Yeah, their textiles back then were not moisture wicking. They were moisture trapping.
Precisely.
And so you don't want to be swimming in your own swamp all day. We are one of the few animals evolved to sweat. Better let nature do its thing. Keep your body nice and cool.
Precisely. And that nakedness of these Aborigines, they reinforce the European idea that they were more civilized. They're a higher class and a higher grade and therefore more human than these other people who let their dangly bits just dangle.
As Bridget Jones would say, her wobbly bits.
And when slaveholders acquired more slaves, they would baptize them to make them Christian, and they would clothe them, thus civilizing them and making them part of the European world, the European tribe.
The Western world.
And then by the Victorian era, and this is around the 1800s, nudity, it's done. It's had its heyday. It was 100% associated with shame, sexuality, immodesty. The idea was keep yourself clothed.
And not even just keep yourself clothed, but wear clothes that change your body's shape.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's insane the lengths that they went to make themselves not look like normal humans. It's like, I'm going to take this bone of an animal from the ocean, I'm going to put it in some garment and I'm going to use it to pretend I look different than how I look. Like, that's really taking clothing to the max.
So in the Victorian era, there's all kinds of religions and different kind of branches of Christianity popping up, each more conservative than the last. It was a time of high collars, buttoned to the nth degree, corsets that cinched your waist as tight as can be to also somehow be sexual and idealized at the same time. It was a very confusing time.
We're still unpacking the repercussions of that era to this day.
We totally are.
But also during this time, I mean, over the last couple hundred years, the human body day to day was like covered up, covered up, covered up. Mm-hmm. But like the human figure in art was very prevalent through all this stuff.
And this was part of all the rabbit hole that I went down, the resurgence of nudity and art and kind of the fascination with this art, and then how it's art depicted people nude, but then in real life, everyone was clothed, and how breasts didn't become sexualized till actually really late. That's why you'll see Middle Ages and even some French and beginning of Victorian era with boobs hanging out, because they didn't become super sexual until later.
Yeah, they used to wear like corsets, and then your nipples would be out over the top to signify you were young and like they were perky. And there was one French aristocrat, maybe she was the mistress of a king. She had her dresses tailored so that her favorite breast was always out. She was like, yes, this is my good breast.
This is the good one. Everyone look She's at the like, good one.
My good breast. And we were all there when we were 17, so let's...
Yeah, we get it. We understand. It's a really complicated road. I had to boil it down to kind of its basic things to get to the heart of this episode, which is about the law side.
Yes, and here we are, 45 minutes in, getting into the heart of the episode.
Because you got to know all this background, right? To understand.
Yes, you can't just be like, all of a sudden, bodies were illegal.
It's a journey. And I'm going to get to all that law stuff in a second.
I'm so pumped.
But in general, it wasn't a big issue in the U.S. We didn't need to lay down these laws right away about nudity. But in the late 1800s, nudists started to make waves in the U.S. So the concept of nudist and naturalist, as I talked about at the top, nudist and naturalist, this concept was started by the Germans, and it was called Freikörperkultur. Freikörperkultur.
Freikörperkultur.
Freikörperkultur.
That was me. That's a little bit more of like a Swedish accent, I did say.
I don't know. It's a lot of consonants and not a lot of vowels. It's hard for me to say it.
That's my motherland.
And Freikörperkultur means, I sound like the Swedish chef. It means free body culture.
Ooh, I like that translation.
So they started it in the late 1800s. Germans brought it to the U.S. in the 20s.
I wonder what they were running away from.
Weird, in the 20s. And the first nudist association was born in 1929. It was called the American League for Physical Culture.
Really harkening back to those Greeks, you know? We're going to do some lance tossing. And lance tossing, you need to have your lance out.
Lance out. I like that. So they opened their first nudist colony in the U.S. in New Jersey in 1932, which is its whole own story. And the association, this place has changed their names a bunch of times throughout the years. Always looking to rebrand. Just get the right hook.
Keep with the times.
Yes. And right now it is the American Association for Nude Recreation, AANR. The club that I visited was a part of the AANR. They're chartered, and all these different clubs that pay dues, part of this association, to be in the club.
That's really good to know that you can be naked and still have to deal with bureaucracy.
They had brochures up the wazoo in the office. I took them, you know, for research. And again, a lot of the people didn't have pubic hair, which is, again, just so confusing.
Not naturalist, that's for sure.
Mm-mm. No, I feel like there's some sort of split that I'm not aware of. You know, like nudists and naturalists are two separate things. But anyway, I guess it just varies by location.
Oh, yeah. If you're a nudist and or a naturalist, let us know the difference and how we can get involved with the naturalist. We want to just hang out with real bodies.
Yeah, with my bush hanging out and my non-fake boobs hanging out.
Yes, hanging low.
Hanging low, precisely.
Let me tell you, as somebody approaching 30...
Oh, it's only going to get worse.
Gravity. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Yeah. I'm like, I need to get one of those. I need to sleep like a fucking vampire.
Just upside down.
Oh, my God. Nature is cruel.
It makes bras really hard, too, because, like, yeah, you get ones that are supposed to push up. I'm like, I ain't got nothing in the middle.
Nature, why you got to do me like this? I got to be like this.
It's rough. It's rough, Rachel. You've only begun your journey.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You best believe it. It's starting. I'm like, this is what menopause is.
Wait till you hit 35. I feel like everything just like took a sharp turn around 35. That's where I started to be like, oh no.
Oh, no. Yeah. It's, well, time to be a nudist, I guess.
Yeah. Embrace it. That's really the only course you have. You can't reverse time. You can't sleep like a vampire. Just embrace it.
Hey, the next 7 years until I turn 35, I could legally transition and be a man by then, you know? And just be like, guess what? I'm getting hotter.
Yeah, get some beard action going on.
I'd be a hot ass 40-year-old man. I was gonna be a cute girl until I'm 40 and I'm gonna be a hot man. Sign me up.
I think that's a good life plan. Just gonna turn it all on its head. I'm gonna get the best of both worlds.
Watch out, Dan. Your wife's gonna become a lady killer.
So when did it become illegal? That's the next question. And again, disclaimer, real talk here. This research was hard. It was hard to find. It was hard to understand. So I'm just going to stay at this top real quick. I'm not a lawyer. I'm no expert. But I'm going to do my best for you guys, okay?
I mean, honestly, I think you should write to Laura with your legal questions at this point. Please. She's essentially a paralegal, if not a lawyer.
Well, there you go. And so let me dive into what I've kind of learned here. One thing I can state definitively, there are no federal laws in the U.S. that are on the book about being nude in public. It is all at the state level. And try as I might, I could not find any information on when the first U.S. state laws about public exposure or public indecency were enacted. I tried really freaking hard and I couldn't find it. So what I did find was the first news article that was about indecent exposure. And this was in the 1870s in Sacramento, California.
In California? I feel like they would love the news.
I know. It surprised me a little bit, too. I know. And it was some Italian guy, some Italian pervo that's out there on the street waggling his ding-dong at school kids.
Ah, would you like to pull on my spicy sausage, my spicy Italian sausage? I kind of sounded a little Transylvanian there at the end.
I think that's close enough. And predictably, they arrested his ass. And fair. I say good.
And they made a law.
That.
They were like, I don't know what he's doing, but you can't do that.
But that is bad. I know that.
Yeah, I ain't never seen that before, but I know it's illegal.
And the state laws across the board are different and very confusing.
Oh, of course.
So some have laws that specify that genitals or sex organs can't be displayed. Others say nipples of women count. Some say that they don't count. I think all of them give exception for breastfeeding, but like just topless. Yeah, there's a lot there.
I feel like the only illegal sex organ should be a penis, because no woman is going out in public and is like, look at this.
Flicking her bean and be like, look at this.
No. You trying to tell me I was to give birth on a park bench that I would be committing a sex crime? That's a patriarchy.
No, I think we all know exactly who this is aimed at, and that's Italian perv
who is
in Sacramento
telling
in the
children
1870s.
To yank his spicy sausage.
Yeah. Precisely. And some of these state laws, they specify that there must be an intent to arouse. So just being naked isn't against the law. It's your being salacious, you're tugging on your spicy sausage, you're rolling your nipples around, that is illegal. But there's a whole list of state laws. There's going to be a link in bio about the state laws for each one. It's very different, so check it out. It's pretty interesting. But these laws, to a layman slash paralegal slash juris doctorate of impolite society receiver.
Somebody who's proficient in nude law.
Yeah, it's pretty freaking murky. And the general gist that I got, and I could totally be wrong here, is that there's not a lot of convictions coming down from the bench that are about public nudity unless you're committing a sexual offense. So, again, waggling your dick at people and being like, oh, you want the spicy sausage?
You want the Maya spicy sausage.
The gist that I got is if you're just trying to be nude on your own, you're not bothering anybody, you might get the cops called on you, but you're probably not going to go to, like, legit prison. Mm-hmm. Again, disclaimer, if you take my advice and you end up in the pokey, I'm not claiming any responsibility for that.
We're revoking it. You, by listening to this, you have signed a limited liability waiver, and, you know, we're not lawyers, we're not legal advice. I think it's very clear that we don't know what the fuck we're talking about 80% of the time.
Well, speaking of not a layperson, this is the smart dude named Richard Posner. Mm. He used to be on the U.S. Court of Appeals. What it comes down to are two amendments in the Constitution. The First Amendment, which protects your right to free speech. And the second thing, which is the state action clause of the 14th Amendment, which we all know, of course. I don't even need to say it.
Yeah, yeah, I know the 14th Amendment off the top of my head. I got my Bill of Rights and
In fact, not even just the 14th Amendment, the State Action Clause, which just means it's buried even further down.
Yes. Did you not learn that in your civics class in high school?
For those who didn't get their Juris Doctorate at the Impolite Society University, this states, quote, "A state cannot make or enforce any law that abridges the privileges or immunity of any citizen." So, you have the right to free speech, and you have the right to do what you want, as long as it isn't against the law, which, again, doesn't impugn the privileges or immunity of it. You can see where the circle kind of goes around and round and round there.
This is the most, like, legalese impolite society ever created.
It was a deep dive, like I said. And there wasn't a lot of case law that I could find, because I'm not a lawyer, about an individual's right to be naked and do their own thing in their own space, or, you know, in the backyard or in a semi-public space. But there is case law, and this was off-cited, so I felt like it was pertinent to our conversation here. It was about nude dancing.
Nude dancing?
Yes. And this was more recent than I thought it was. When you think about this kind of stuff, I would think that it would be in, like, the 60s, the 70s. No, 1991. This is the precedented case law. And this case made it to the Supreme Court. It was Barnes versus the Glenn Theater. So they wanted to open a titty bar in South Bend, Indiana. And the town said, no fucking way. Against our public nudity laws. Made its way up the chain all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the Kitty Cat Lounge, which was the name of the club, they said this was a violation of the First Amendment right. Freedom of free speech, freedom of expression. And in the end, the court, they determined that the state has the authority to ban public nudity because it furthers the government's main goal, which is protecting the order of society.
No, I mean, you lost me a little bit, but this whole thing is very perplexing. A, the government should not tell you what to do in your business. If you want to have a titty bar, have a titty bar. B, why is this going all the way to the Supreme Court? Huge waste of taxpayer dollars. That they just wanted to talk about tits on the public record. So having somebody dancing naked is against the order of society.
Yes. And so it comes down to the town. They had a lot of reasons. They said they didn't want a nude club. It would drive down property values, bring up crime, bring up, like, hygiene, all this kind of stuff, right?
Bring down the hygiene of the community.
Yeah.
I can't shower. I have to spend my time at the Kitty Cat Club.
But the real heart of the matter is that the Supreme Court decided it didn't violate their First Amendment rights because, quote, nudity itself is not inherently expressive conduct.
I feel that. Yeah, I feel like saying that, oh, it's my First Amendment right to be naked and sexually naked. I didn't feel like that fit either. Nothing yeah. about this story makes sense. Like, nobody, I don't think anybody's in the right, to be fair.
Yeah, it's really murky. It's really confusing. I mean, I read a bunch of stuff about this and trying to go really, really deep. And it made me think a lot about a lot of different things. But we're not talking about strippers today. We're talking about people just going about their business, being naked. Why is that a crime? Why is my body a crime?
Why can't I walk out my front door and say, hey, world, this is me?
Yeah, exactly. And the spirit of these public nudity laws is that you shouldn't be doing indecent things in public where people who don't want to see you have to see you, like being naked, masturbating, having sex. You know, it's considered this form of sexual harassment. If you don't want to see some dude waggling his dick at you and not have anything to say about it, right? And again, that comes into the play with the state laws about intent and things like that, but it's different across the board. It's a hard thing to put your finger on. And the justification for these laws seems to be about this interesting thing called the offensive principle. And this legal theory, it states that, quote, individual liberty is justifiably limited to prevent offensive behavior, end quote. So this generally is talking about the moral standings or the feelings of the society around you. So if society as a whole is offended by your actions, then it's right to outlaw it. And I think this goes along with the general feeling of our country and our government, which is by the people, for the people, right? The law upholds what the society is feeling, right?
Yes, I definitely agree with this. And I feel like this might come up in the musing sections, but this seems like conversations we've had before, where is it legal to limit things that the public or the overall general public deems as offensive?
Yep.
Yep.
But there are all kinds of things that everyone thinks that are offensive that aren't against the law. You know, when you pick your nose, right? Nobody thinks that that's great. You're not bathing and you're stinky. You know, chewing with your mouth open. Nobody's a fan of any of that.
I feel personally targeted by all of these. If offensive is illegal, then we definitely need the Impolite Society law firm to cover us, because we exclusively talk about things that are outside cultural's norm. I don't think anybody's like, yeah, sex dolls. Give me more of that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the question. So why is nudity different from all of those other things? And the reason why it's different seems to be because nudity is so hard to ignore.
Yeah, it is. I would definitely agree.
So political philosopher.
Wow, we're reaching that level. Political philosophy.
Yeah, I know.
You were not kidding when you said you went deep in the research. I
know. Because it was freaking hard to figure out. Political philosopher Joel Feinberg, he theorized that nudity is completely unique in how it demands our attention, that there is this conflict inside all of us between being aroused by nudity, but then being repulsed by it because of our cultural and sexual taboos. So you see a naked person, you're like, ooh, naked. You're wanting to look and you're wanting to explore and wanting to see what that's all about. Yeah, you're titillated. But then at the same time, you're also disgusted then because of your reaction to it, or because maybe they don't follow an bodily ideal or whatever the case may be. Like, there's a lot of internal conflict that's happening here.
Okay, I also feel like our homeboy Joel, he's might be coming from like a male's perspective, where
very distinctly, but again, the country is run primarily by men.
The world is run primarily by men. But I think that no woman would step on the scene and be like, nudity equals arousal. Hey, like, no woman was like, oh, a naked man? Yeah.
There are some women. They are rare, but they do exist. Okay, so what I would say is that nudity is kind of the perfect example of this offensive principle, because most people in society feel this contradiction between nudity and in your reaction to it. And whether that comes from biological interpretation of what you're seeing or from these age-old cultural taboos that we've been through, there's just a lot going on there in your mental contradiction, right? So the state law says you can't take your morning jog in the buff because most people don't like it. But how and when do taboos change? And the answer is when people are adapted to it, right? Homosexuality. This used to be a crime. It used to be one of the biggest taboos in the world, and certainly in America. And now it isn't. There was a normalization process that happened, and it was a slow process.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Taboos are all made up. What? That's why we have this podcast. So we can talk
precisely
about
them. We can lampoon this shit. And it happens especially slowly when the people who are in charge of this country are 40 or more years older than this huge cut of the population that's more on the cutting edge, like, you know, is the next generation. So there's the big gap there, mm-hmm. right? And we have to acknowledge, though, that old conservative people also live in our country, too, and are also a large swath of the population. And it's not just the hip and the cool next generation of youth. So it takes time for these things to kind of trickle down. You have to wait until these oldies get out.
Get out. What do you mean by that?
Die or retire.
And then all of a sudden, COVID enters the scene.
They should be going faster, right?
That's that's one would assume.
So it takes time for things to change. It's like the trickle down. So, you know, the old people die, the mid-generation takes hold, and then they die, and then the new generation. So it just takes a long time. Sometimes it's too long.
Progress is dependent on people dying. Just like
it's true. It really is.
Or at least not being an octogenarian president. I think we can span the aisle, and we can all agree that maybe let's do a young whippersnapper. Maybe somebody who's 55.
I mean, I voted for Buttigieg in the primaries, so.
Whoa! Laura's dropping some bombs.
What?
Wait, you voted as a Democrat in the primary?
Yep, I did.
Wow. Normally, I think, here's the thing. Here's Rachel's political corner. I think that you should vote for the opposing party's primary candidate.
I've always thought that, too. Yeah.
Yeah, so we can, like, maybe have people who are rational.
Yeah, no, totally. I completely agree. I've always thought that same thing.
Oh, yeah. We could have two candidates who appeal to the most people possible.
Yep.
Oh, that would be a shit show.
Oh, what a terrible show of democracy there.
Anyways, you know, we're a law firm and we're also a public policy.
Election consultants.
Yeah. We run the gambit.
I think it's the gamut. Not the gambit.
What's a gambit?
Gambit is a bet, like a risk. Yeah, and the gamut is like a wide variety.
We run all of it.
We run the gamut
and the gambit.
The gamuts. We got everything.
For all intensive purposes. That was a joke because it's all intents and purposes. That was another common vernacular.
Wait. What's the right one?
Intents and purposes. I said
really?
All intensive purposes.
I've always said intensive purposes.
No, intents and purposes.
Oh. All right. Point is, it does change. It just takes a long ass time when you've got an octogenarian in an office, and we've just got an uphill battle going with these things. And
both ways in the snow.
Yeah, precisely. Just like old people. I think these laws were made in the books for a lot of reasons. I think there's, you know, American prudishness about anything sexual, while at the same time we're over-sexualizing anything we get their hands on. And
of course,
this is another thing that I thought of that was more like speculation on my part, but I'm standing behind it. It's a lot easier to prove that someone was purposefully pointing their dick at you or their child if they have to pull it out to do it.
Okay, fair. That's totally fair. I was just like, oh, my dick was just existing here.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, oh, let me unzip and like
take it out.
Yeah, everybody else is wearing pants, but I'm not going to wear pants because I want you
to see. Precisely. And I want a clear path to have someone arrested for exposing themselves to a child. And I guess maybe if that means we all have to cover up, maybe I'm for it. For the children! We have to think of the children.
Don't fool the children. But also, I feel like children, they would be okay with the tits out. Because they're like, it's an all-you-can-eat buffet out here. So maybe just keep your penis. Yeah.
Yeah, it's always about the dick. Keep the dick covered. Free the tatas. Bind the dick.
Bind the dick.
Nobody wants it.
That BDSM? Anyone? Going back to that.
Cock and ball torture. I'm all for it. Right back to. Yes. Oh, God, they might like it. No. No, yes. Cock and ball torture.
Please,
no CBT
do not walk
you.
In front of a child with your penis in a cage.
Just keep your penis where it belongs.
Tucked between your legs, Hannibal Lecter style. Here we go. We're referencing all of our previous episodes today. You know, might as well.
So that's when we know we've wrapped up the research section. So I've thrown a lot at the wall here. We've got a lot of sociology, a lot of history, a lot of law I didn't quite understand. So we're going to package it all up. We're going to think about it. We're going to ruminate and muse on this in the next section.
How's it feel? We stripped off some layers. We're like letting it hang out for the musing section. You know, we gotta get in our natural state for that. Tits out for musings.
Tits out musings. I'll do it. I don't even care. No.
It's hot. It's summer. I'm trying to cool off.
I'm trying to have hot girl summer over here doing my podcast in my basement.
Hot girl summer's like, I'm fucking temperature is hot. Let me take off as much clothes as possible. But so now that, you know, the tits are out and the brain energy is flowing, let's get musings. Let's muse about what the naked body means.
Okay. So the first thing I thought of is about Americans in general, because, I mean, we're based in America. We're an American-centric podcast, right? That's the world we live
what?
In.
What? You couldn't tell by our accents?
Or by our talks about our old-ass president. Because in Europe, they have nudity taboos, you know, into some sense, but they have a ton of designated nude areas.
The first time I went to Europe, I was there with a high school group of musicians, which sounds cooler. I know it was a symphonic band.
I think that sounds awesome. Being in Europe in high school, amazing.
God bless my parents for sending me, because like I did not deserve it, because I read my journal and it was all about the drama that was happening with the other teenagers.
Yeah, youth is wasted on the young, right?
Yeah, I was just like, what the fuck. I landed in London and we got a newspaper. And we opened the newspaper. In the newspaper, there was an ad. It had titties out. And it was just like...
shocking. Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was all we could talk about. It probably made it in the fucking journal.
But in America, we're super obsessed with status, right? We've talked about it before, about social media, about putting on that show, lying about how awesome we are all the time. And is that so ingrained that we are uncomfortable taking off our armor, our clothes, in front of the world? Does nudity represent this kind of truth that Americans are uncomfortable with?
Because we all are equal. Underneath your clothes. That's a Shakira song. Underneath our clothes, we're all the same, right? We're all just these weird naked apes that are walking around. Your clothes tell about yourself.
So many things.
It's almost like asking somebody with tattoos to take off their tattoos, because their tattoos are telling their story.
Yeah.
We humans are very social animals. So when you strip that away, we lose kind of a sense of identity. So yeah, it could be along those same lines, but not because we're so obsessed with where we rank in the social hierarchy, but because in America, we are obsessed with our sense of identity.
Our individualism.
We are individuals. Yes, that is the first and foremost important thing in our world, is who we are as ourselves. So if you take away our ability to express that, then that could be very uncomfortable. And I might be getting a little head in the clouds here on that one.
No, I agree with that, because as I was at this nudist resort, I told Austin, I literally said to him, I'm like, I feel like I'm without my armor. I use my clothes to signify a lot of things. And I think maybe it's because I am uncomfortable just like with myself. Like I'm always trying to dress myself to minimize the things that I don't like about myself and emphasize the parts of my body that I do. And so just being laid bare is very uncomfortable, not only from the physical aspect, but like what I want to signify to the world.
How you want the world to see you.
Precisely. Precisely. And so that's a very uncomfortable feeling. So I agree. I'm on board with that.
Yeah, I just don't think a lot of people get to that level. They just think like, ew, nudity.
Yeah. But I mean, like with any taboo, that's what you have to do, right? You have to dive deep to think about why do we feel this way as a society? What led us to where we are? And what do we do going forward?
And that's where we have to go all the way back to the Mesopotamia days to realize that being naked meant you were a toiler. You were working.
Yeah.
The clothes was a luxury. So we all have our clothes as a luxury, and we use it to signify all of these things about ourselves that you wouldn't pick up normally. And I can feel the difference when I'm wearing like my work clothes. If I go out in public after work, people treat me differently than if I was to go out in my after work clothes, which is just essentially pajamas.
Totally. I mean, when you've got your hair done, your makeup done, and you're wearing heels, people look at you very differently than when I do when I'm wearing my yoga pants and a t-shirt. It's just you're perceived differently, and that I want to be perceived as a higher class individual. Like we said, we all want to be rich. That's my goal at all the time, is to look like I have money, even though I don't.
Well, exactly. That's really the trick, right? It's just like, how can I look like a rich person today? How can I trick other people into thinking I'm affluent?
Exactly. I think this is a good conversation. This is a good dive into a very deep taboo and the very ancient roots of it, and make us all think about what it means and how we can change it. And I think that comes down to just changing cultural mores, right? And so the question at the end is, why is my naked body a crime? All of the things. Back to ancient taboos, to the new world and how we saw savages, and the rise of more morals and values of a Victorian era, down to our own discomfort with our nudity and other people's nudity. There is no one answer. It's a blend of all of those things.
Yes, definitely. And I think my takeaway, as somebody who is listening to the research — I didn't do the research, but I heard all about it — and from the highest perspective, is that our naked bodies are taboo because they are literally shirking all the other components of being a modern day human, right? So we're literally saying, get this out of here. This doesn't matter, da 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 da. We're stripping away all the context clues, all of the pieces we're using to make inferences and to make judgments. And we're just saying,
here I am.
Yeah. And it, like, the discomfort might actually come from that we don't know how to process that. We don't know how to make sense of it because we're missing all the pieces that we would normally use to make those inferences.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that might be a high and mighty, like, complex interpretation of all this. It might just be as simple as, like, I'm not used to seeing boobies and genitals are gross. Ew. But at the same time, I feel like that's like happening on the surface level, because humans love to categorize.
Yeah.
That's what we do, is we take things and we put them into buckets. You know, threat, non-threat. Mm-hmm. This person is like me.
It's a shortcut for our brain.
Yeah. And when you take all that away, you have an enigma.
We're uncomfortable.
Yeah. Things that we can't process make us uncomfortable. So could that be why seeing a naked person in public is such a taboo?
I think so. I think that it's a multi-layered thing, and I don't think that's too high and mighty. I think that is a good conclusion to come to.
Well, I'm glad we reached it, you know, out of the research, the in-person investigation, the musings. That's where we landed, and I think that if both of us are agreeing on it,
we must be somewhere right, yeah.
Yeah, I think we nailed it.
All right. So that's it. That's the end. Let me know what you guys think. Do you have experience with nudist colonies or being nude? Do you have opinions that differ from ours? Let us know. Check us out on the socials. We're on Instagram. We're on TikTok. We're on TikTok? TikTok.
We're on a TikTok.
TikTok. We're also on Facebook. We're all over the place. Or you can shoot us an email, rude@impolitesocietypodcast.com.
Let us know what you think about the subject. This was a really big one. I did not necessarily know how big it was until we dug into it, but it was fun.
Yeah, you posed the question. It's all your fault. This long episode is your fault.
Well, you know, it worked out well, I guess, because it timed in to your trip to the nudist colony.
It's true. It's true. I'm glad I got an opportunity to talk about it. And again, one up Rachel on her on her OnlyFans research.
Yeah. Yeah. The next subject might be about what women want in a man. So I guess I have to go out dating. I
gotta
get
on Grindr.
Grindr's for
Wait,
gay
that's
men.
That's a gay thing.
They won't like me on Grindr. And here we are. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, please rate, review, subscribe. And of course, the most important thing you can do is tell a friend about our show.
Because if you've got friends like you that don't want to watch the latest reality television, that are interested in world history, sociology, anthropology, all these deep dive conversations, you get us. You know what it's like to think these hard questions, these weird questions, and you know the people in your life that would enjoy that as well. So tell them, let them know, send them our way.
So Laura's saying, if you have friends who are smart like you.
Exactly. 100%. But I think we hear the drums.
Yeah, that's definitely the drums. Okay, we gotta end this.
Bye.
Oh, thank you for listening. Oh, goodbye.
Goodbye.